One of the greatest questions that we have to face, and people in our country and people all over the world have to face, is what is God like? What is God really like? The tendency for most people is to think they know what God is like and create an image or a thought about God, to create actually an idol for themselves, a God that will help them, a God that will affirm them, a God that will tell them that they're okay and He's okay and everything's okay. Almost everybody has a different view of God. So what is God like? Who's right? Who's right? Some of our graduates are going to college. Many of us have been to college. And as many people as there are in college, you will have that many different views of God. And everyone thinks they're right. The question is, who's right? What is God really like? And how can we know for sure? I think the best one to ask is God. What does He say about Himself? How does God describe Himself? There are many people all over the world that says, you cannot know God. You cannot know God. That God has not revealed Himself. You can know very little, if anything at all, about who God is or what He is about. He is just there. He's angry. He's judgmental. He's this, He's that. But is that true? Well, fortunately, God has described Himself. If you have your Bible with you, open to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, we see God describing Himself. Moses wants to see God. Moses and God were close. They were very close. God invited Moses, come up to the mountain. We're going to have a conversation. We'll have a visit. And they had a relationship. Moses was a very visual kind of person. He said to God, can I see you? I really would like to see you. The Lord responds at the end of chapter 33 and verse 20, no man shall see me and live. Moses was disappointed. He wants to see God, and God says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will allow my glory to pass you by, and you can see my back. Moses thought, ah, that's a pretty good idea. At least I can see something more than just a voice. And in this story, the Lord not only passes before Moses in the cleft of the rock as the Lord shields Moses' eyes for the glory would kill him, but the Lord describes Himself, says who He is, describes His heart, how He relates to us, His creation. In verse 5 in Exodus 34, it says, now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there. He proclaimed the name of Yahweh. And Yahweh passed before Moses and proclaimed. This is what God says about Himself. His name, Yahweh. Yahweh. Elohim. God. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering. And abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty. That's how God describes Himself. And it's really quite amazing. Even Christians in the most biblically centered Christian church, many Christians have the idea, oh, I don't like the Old Testament. Boy, God's kind of angry back in the Old Testament. I read a lot of war, a lot of killing, a lot of judgment. There's no mercy. There's no compassion. In fact, we have grace and mercy in the New Testament, right? Oh, in the Old Testament, not so much. So we're New Testament Christians, they say. We don't care much about the Old Testament because, well, we see all that judgment going on there. And that's really not what God is all about. We like Jesus, grace and truth, as if there was no grace and truth in the Old Testament. What is God like? What is God like? How would He reveal Himself? Merciful. Merciful. Filled with mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's mercy. Not getting what you deserve. That is what God is like. Merciful. In our adult Sunday school class, we're reading the book of Judges. You want to read about God's mercy? Read the book of Judges. You see a culture totally headlong into sin. God is merciful. He shows them mercy, gives them judges to deliver them from their oppressors time after time after time, even when they're worshiping false gods and idols. God is merciful. He says, He describes Himself as gracious. Gracious. But I thought the grace was in the New Testament. Yes, there is grace in the New Testament. There's a lot of grace in the Old Testament as well. God's character is, He defines Himself as gracious. Giving to believers grace. Grace. Not getting what you deserve. Getting what you don't deserve. That's grace. Getting what you don't deserve. He is gracious. Long-suffering. God says, He is long-suffering. He is patient with us. He is patient. Some people think that God is sitting on the throne of heaven just waiting for you to stumble so He can zap you with the lightning bolt in judgment of anger and harshness. That's not what He says about Himself. That's not how He describes Himself. He describes Himself as long-suffering, patient. And not only that, God would describe Himself, He says that He is abounding in goodness and truth. Abounding. Overflowing, as it were, with goodness and truth. We'll talk a little bit later downstairs about His goodness and His truth. It's called wisdom. Wisdom. And what is better, His wisdom or the wisdom of the world? What is better, His truth or the subjective standard of truth that the world presents to us on a day-to-day basis? What is better? God says, in describing Himself, He is abounding, overflowing with goodness and truth. A view other than that of God is an idol. Not the truth. Not the way God describes Himself. Abounding in goodness. He is the essence of truth. He is truth. Jesus came along and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, Thy word is truth. What is truth? What is truth? In our world today, truth is whatever you want it to be. Not only that, but it's whatever you want it to be right now. It may have been different 3 hours ago. And it's going to be different 4 hours from now. Truth is whatever you want it to be right now to fit your need. That is our world's definition of truth. God is the essence of truth. The essence of truth. And when we disbelieve, we are challenging His character. He is truth. And here's what He does, verse 7. What does He do within this character of His? What is His primary action? Keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. But by no means clearing the guilty. He is forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Are they the same thing? No. They're not the same thing. Actually, they are given in reverse order from severity to the least severe. Iniquity. That is full, determined, with forethought, rebellion against God. That's iniquity. I will not obey. I will rebel against God because I don't believe Him. That's iniquity. Transgression. That is a lesser degree. That is, I desired to do well, but I failed. The desires and the lust of the flesh got the best of me. Sin is, I just missed. I just missed the mark. He forgives. All of those transgressions, iniquities, all of those sins. He's not going to clear the guilty, by no means clearing the guilty. And someone will say, how do I know? How do I know that He forgives sin? How do I know that for sure? A couple passages that I would just turn you to. In Isaiah 43:25, He says, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for My own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for My own sake, and I will remember your sin no more. And I posed this question to you before. God knows everything, right? How does the God who knows everything, who is omniscient, how does He forget something? God knows everything, but He forgets something. He forgets your sin. He remembers it no more. He acts as though it never happened. He treats you as though it never happened. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Another passage of Scripture, Psalm 103, verse 11 through 14. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You might be thinking, well, that's a lot of grace in the Old Testament. Pastor still hasn't got to the New Testament. No, and I'm not going to this morning. Mercy, grace in the Old Testament. As far as the east is from the west. We're talking the universe. The universe. Not just our galaxy, but the universe. How far is the east is from the west? That's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. So when He says keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, that is exactly what He does. And you might be saying, okay, but you don't know what I've done. I've done some pretty bad things. How can I be certain? How can I be sure that when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He has forgiven my sins? That He will remember it no more. That He has actually, verily separated me from my sins as far as the east is from the west in the entire universe. How can I know for sure? I'm glad you asked. Great passage of Scripture. Old Testament again. In 1 Kings chapter 3. It is the story of a young king, Solomon. We'll be talking about Solomon here shortly, downstairs. The Lord showed up and said, okay, Solomon, your father's dead. What would you like? And if you remember the story, Solomon says, please give to your servant an understanding heart. He asked for wisdom that I might judge your people and discern good and evil. And that pleased the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord said to him, because you have asked this thing, wisdom, you've not asked for a long life for yourself or riches or for the life of your enemies, I will give to you all of those things, plus give you a spirit of wisdom that nobody has had in the past and nobody will ever have in the future. And he says in verse 14, one of the most amazing passages you'll ever read. The Lord says to Solomon, so, if you walk in My ways and keep My statutes and My commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Wait a second. Hold on. Hold the phone. That can't be right. If you walk in My statutes, Solomon, and keep My commandments, as your father David walked, Did he? Absolutely not. King David was a wretch. A wretched sinner. Adultery. Had a baby with another woman, not his wife. Killed her husband. committed iniquity, deliberate rebellion against God to take a census. Had a horrible family life. This man was a sinner of the worst order. And after he died, God's assessment of him and of his life: if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments as your father David did. What does that mean? What it means is David was forgiven. Just as the Lord said he would forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin in Exodus 34, just as Isaiah 43 says that I will remember your sin no more, just as Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, and God's assessment on judgment day after David is dead is, he kept my commandments and he kept my statutes. He was righteous. Why? Because he repented and he confessed, and we have the great psalm of him pouring his heart out to the Lord. And God's assessment of the man's life is, he is righteous. He is holy. God does forgive. As far as the east is from the west, so far he'll remove your sins from you. And he will remember your sins no more. That's grace. That's mercy. That's how God describes himself. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we entrust our lives and our eternal destiny to him. Any other God is a So if you're here this morning wondering, can God really forgive me? The answer is yes. If you're a Christian this morning and you're wondering, I wonder if God did forgive me, the answer is yes. Confession, repentance, and trust. And the love of Christ cleanses you from all of those things. And just like David on judgment day, you will be considered by God holy, righteous, in Christ, and forgiven you.